Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guests on today's program are David Clemens and Michael Kroth, co-authors of the new book, Managing the Mobile Workforce, Leading, Building, and Sustaining Virtual Teams. David Clemens is CEO of Achieve Labs, Incorporated. He's a well-known speaker and commentator both nationally and internationally on the mobile industry. Dave is a true mobile worker and employs a large Mobi force, including international partners and content specialists. Michael Kroth is the assistant professor of adult organizational learning and leadership at the University of Idaho. He's authored Transforming Work, The Five Keys to Achieving Trust, Commitment, and Passion in the Workplace, and co-authored The Manager as Motivator. Gentlemen, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, let's start with a high-level topic. What do most managers miss when they think of distance separating them and their mobile workers?
A lot of managers think that if you just give a person a mobile phone and a connection, that's what they need. And in reality, establishing a more personal relationship over geographic distance is the much bigger issue. So when you think about distance, it's much larger than just geographic distance. It's emotional distance, it's personal distance, it's trust. It's all those kinds of things you find in an office. And it's very important for a manager to develop them over a geographic distance.
Right.
When you talk about reducing that distance, a lot of people might think, well, the way you reduce the distance is you just call in once in a while, but it's much more than that. It's e-presence, it's social presence, it's that leadership presence where you are working very hard to reduce that emotional or transactional distance.
David, do you have any thoughts on that?
It generally takes more than a single manager to handle all of the digital communication that comes in through a mobile workforce. 50 emails, 80 text messages, a full schedule of both physical and virtual meetings, and these managers can quickly become overwhelmed where they did not plan to handle all these little tidbits of communication.
Yeah.
An email comes across their desk, a single sentence asking things like, did I get that right? And the manager has to make a decision whether or not they even open that type of message. So I think one really big miss is not planning for the support of digital communications to help managers do their job. And the second thing, from a manager's perspective, is having that personal level connection to know what's going on behind a phone call or email or on the other side of a go-to meeting or a WebEx meeting, meaning do we really understand as managers what's going on in the life of the mobile worker,
right?
Their stresses and the things that impact them, because there are a lot of stresses at the mobile worker side, and managers need to do everything they can to understand and not miss that.
Now, in the research you did for the book, what did you learn about virtual team development that's different than what happens in typical traditional team development activities?
Traditionally, for years and years, we've been using the Tuckman model, forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning, and it's a great way of thinking about how teams are developed. Well, when we started talking with people, we found that what's more important with teams is putting that norming process ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out how you establish the norms, the protocols, the culture at the very start of the process, and in fact, even before the very start of the process. Now, that's not different than it is in great companies already, because even before people are hired, they have a culture, they have expectations. But for a virtual team, that's even more important.
Right. But how do you do that?
The virtual team development process we're suggesting goes norming first, then forming, and then transforming. Because what's going to happen then in a virtual team is people get to know each other at a distance. They may or may not have met each other. They're going to transform from a bunch of individuals who've been working virtually. They've started off with strong norms, got to do that. And then they're moving into that transforming process, and they do that along with their leader to transform into a much stronger team, then performing, and then, of course, adjourning. And so the virtual team process, hiring, setting expectations, and then orientation before you even get started is ever more important than it is with a regular team.
Right.
And traditional teams have the benefit and luxury of bumping into each other in quick meetings, at the water cooler, at lunch, at dinner, in the hallway. They're always connecting and talking about business.
Well, that's true. So how do you address that?
For example, there's Lego. This is a 90-year-old company that has put together their community in a virtual sense by keeping communication very transparent. They've created the technology where each member of the team can share innovation and collaborate on creative ideas and really be heard through these threaded discussions. It's a virtual process where people can feel like their input does matter and people respond to their ideas. Each person feels glued into that team with a level of importance because they are being listened to, and being listened to is a big deal on a virtual team. You don't get the FaceTime, so it has to be some other process.
Yeah, but there's still some hard reality issues associated with software usability and technological reliance.
Yes.
So how do you get people aware of all these new reality things?
The early adopters inside of an enterprise are very flexible and willing to see the shortcomings of technology, but they're still going to be there and they're going to line up fast. Typically, this is the 20, 30, 35-year-olds.
Right.
We know from our experience in working with some of the Fortune 100 companies, in fact, one of the top three communication companies, that 40% of their executives will not SMS. They will not use a text message. They've never really developed an interest in using that when they say, well, why do I need that when I'm already on email? Now, that's just a style and use of technology they're familiar with, and they can count on it.
Of course.
Well, the new technology comes up, and the new generation group might say, no, we'd rather use SMS and text messaging as a core line of communication within our own group and to answer emails as well. But we start checking out technology, and it becomes the norm for the majority of the workforce,
sure,
which takes time. And all new technologies, by the way, take time to seed themselves. Nothing's perfect when it comes out, and not everybody's going to adopt it. Not everybody's going to understand it, but over time, how many people have learned how easy it is to open something like Microsoft Office and just know how to do a Word document? But at the very beginning, everybody had to go online and go to expensive classes and learn how to use this because it's all fresh and new. Well, now, you don't think about training when you open up Word. You just go do it. And a lot of technology is getting to the point where you can just use this.
Mm-hmm. For instance?
Go-to meeting. It's not very hard to click a button and start collaborating with a lot of people using that technology. So there's a start point, and the early adopters run in. And then there's this ramp-up time where people become familiar. There's a lot of training and hand-holding. But over a period of time during that ramp-up, people get so familiar with it, it just becomes part of the culture. Mm-hmm. It really does become that simple.
When we wrote the chapter on reconfiguring the process of the virtual team, we started thinking about what's actually going on in the world now. And we start that chapter by talking about World of Warcraft, this online game. There's millions of subscribers, and they play all the time, all over the world. They form virtual teams every night.
Right.
Well, the same thing's true of LEGO Universe. And it's not just the new generation. It's people all over the place who are now, as the technology becomes easier, forming virtual teams all the time.
Mm-hmm. I just have another question here. There are other associated processes and supports that should be in place for mobile workers. How do you ensure that a mobile worker is not treated as a second-class citizen when it comes to things like promotions or other work-related opportunities? Because they're not right there within the organization.
We interviewed a president of a trucking company. Truckers obviously are always moving, and he told us their management team has to make a very special effort to make sure those mobile workers are included in everything, training opportunities, leadership opportunities. So out of sight, out of mind does not work. You have to make sure that the more out of sight, the more in mind those workers are, because they're just as valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a highly prized consultant who happens to be in Japan or China, you're going to treat that person like a first-class citizen. Why wouldn't you do that for anybody in a call center or any other place or any other kind of job around the world? I think, this is my personal opinion, that great leaders think of their followers as people who are very special. I think that managing and leading is a sacred trust. And if you come into it with that attitude about your workers, if they're in the room or if they are in Tuscany, then you're going to make sure they have the opportunities. You're going to make sure that they are going to have growth opportunities within your organization. So it takes special effort, but that's really true with all managing.
Absolutely.
From a leadership perspective, the principles are the same, but many of the techniques might be different or have more emphasis, motivating, leading, treating people like people and not like objects. We had a great interview with Bill Abey from HP, and what he told us was exactly that. He said, leadership is the same, and great leaders are going to find the ways to use technology to lead.
Any thoughts, David?
Yes. If the relationship that a manager has with a mobile worker is based on a couple things like caring, truly having empathy and understanding and developing that level of trust, then there's going to be some equalities along the line. The manager won't think so much about their geographic presence as about communication and performance. Performance and results are obviously a big deal, but that bridge of communication is so important, whether we're sitting across the desk from each other or on a virtual team.
Right.
That all leads up to an understanding and the ability to get things done. It's all about human-to-human connection, communicating, collaborating, motivating, building trust. And if you take out any one of those pieces, the foundation is not going to be there.
Right. That's definitely true.
So many great companies know that communication is the key to that virtual team so that the whole team moves forward. That's part of the motivational link, and they have that understanding that we're all moving forward. Promotions are in the mix.
Okay, I have a question. Do we need new leadership approaches to manage or lead this mobile workforce?
I don't think we do. I think we need to be aware of what it means and what it takes to be a great leader and keep developing great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Back to what Bill Abey told us, the good leaders figure out a way to be good leaders. I just don't see the technology as making good leaders good. It's that the good leaders figure out how to use the technology. Yes, I think we need to make sure leaders are trained, make sure that leaders know how to use the technology and what all the capabilities are.
Right.
A lot of leaders, especially as you move through the ranks, are going to have some folks who can train them and assist them in how you use the technology. And then for the mobile workforce, one of the things we really have to emphasize is communication, is helping support each other as they're perhaps feeling like they're not part of the community. But I don't think the principles are any different. I think it's perhaps the techniques.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
What do you think, David? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, the people we interviewed talk about the effort it takes to stay connected. There are companies that have 10,000 employees, and there is so much information flying back and forth.
Mm.
Good managers cannot do it all. So the companies build support systems of 20 to 30 people,
uh-huh.
But managers have to be great facilitators. They have to know the strengths of people and put them to work. I believe that the support systems around the manager are just as critical as any component. Kit Brown wrote one of the books on developing the virtual team, and she said, technology is great, but you have to know how to use it to motivate and communicate. In fact, the people we interviewed were really strong in this area. They were adamant that leadership mm-hmm. can be used face-to-face or on a telephone call or through an email or through an SMS or through a group annual meeting or many different channels of communication.
Right.
Good leaders know how to use each one of those different channels and rely on their people to communicate to the mobile workers what's going on. Because if you miss one, you start losing that trust factor about what their value is, where they stand.
Hmm. Right.
And to follow up on what David was saying, the leadership model, the leadership style, or whatever we're thinking about regarding leadership, the principles are the same. But the practices are different because managing a mobile workforce is a lot more work. You have to be communicating constantly, and you have to be anticipating what people need. You don't know if there's that silence out there. What does that mean? How do you fill that silence? How do you figure out all those kinds of things? And so building trust at a distance, communicating, meeting with people. We interviewed a fascinating guy, John Gentry, senior director for a company called Worldwide Solutions. He's a road warrior himself, and he has road warriors working for him. They're on the road all the time. So he's on the road 3 out of 4 weeks working with them, orienting them, helping them become acculturated to the organization and supporting them.
Wow.
It takes a lot of work to really be a great mobile manager.
It really does.
It takes leadership principles plus the support systems and then really dedicating yourself to creating this great team, this great group of people that you can count on, and they develop loyalty to you and the organization and to the mission, and that takes work.
We've been speaking to David Clemens and Michael Croft, co-authors of the new book, Managing the Mobile Workforce, Leading, Building, and Sustaining Virtual Teams. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Dave, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.